Hello, and welcome to the Tesla Tips and Tricks Podcast. This is Rod Stuckey. Here with me, Tori Hornsby. Tori, how's it going?
It's going great. How are you?
I'm doing awesome, thanks. Excited to jump into today's episode, where we're going to cover some interesting posts from the T3 Facebook group, including the impact supercharging has on your battery, the poor quality of some of the dash cam videos, Tesla's record-breaking third quarter, and more. But first, for those who may be unfamiliar, Tori, tell us a little bit more about the T3 community.
Yeah, we're the largest Tesla Tips community in the world. We have over 285,000 members in our Facebook group, and we're committed to providing real-world tips and tricks and member deals to Tesla owners to maximize their ownership experience. So if you haven't joined our Facebook group, be sure you do. The link is going to be on the screen here below. For those listening, it's facebook.com/groups/Tesla Tips. And then lastly, be sure that you subscribe to our YouTube channel. We're putting the best content there, including clips for every subject that we discuss. And our channel is youtube.com/@TeslaTipsAndTricks. And that's it, youtube.com/@TeslaTipsAndTricks.
Yep, that's right. And also, just for those of you with iPhones out there and who like to listen going down the road or walking around your neighborhood, we're also, if you go to podcasts on your iPhone, you can subscribe to our podcast and listen there as well. So, well, let's jump right in, Tori, to our first post that says, does supercharging kill your range? This is from Francisco. He's got 56 comments. Yep. Was at 290 at 80%. Now it's at 265 at 80%. 2024 Model 3 daily driver. Is this okay?
First, I just have to say, Francisco, that's fun to say. Little Buddy the Elf reference for those of you who are Elf fans. I love that movie. But the short answer to this, Elon says that supercharging doesn't really make a difference in the battery degradation. Some people in the comments say that they notice that it does, but I want to read Tim's comment first, Tim Nifong. He says, no, there are many legacy Model S vehicles. This is very important because you think about the oldest vehicles that are out there. You've got your mini Model S's that are, you know, over 10 years old. And a lot of them came with free supercharging. So guess what they have an awful lot of? They've had a lot of supercharging.
Right.
Not yep. usage. And so he says a lot of them came with that. Therefore, they used it, and the battery degradation is very minimal, if existent, when compared to those that were never or rarely supercharged. And then he says, after a trip, it's a good idea to run it down and then charge it to 0%. Sometimes it takes a few cycles to get there, but that's due to the BMS recalibrating after a lot of fast charging and fast discharges. So I want to just point out something. You don't want to let your car charge to 100% and then let it sit. What Tim is explaining here, and what some of the other comments will say here, is you know, to just be sure that you recalibrate the BMS. BMS stands for battery management system. And that's what Tim is explaining here, is if you charge the car to 100% and then drive it until it gets to single percentage, the lower the better. If you were doing local stuff and you could get it down to 1% or 2%, that would be awesome. And then charge it to 100% without stopping again, and do that a couple of times, and it recalibrates the BMS, and you can see your stated range change after doing that. But again, a few people say that they do notice that supercharging has an impact. I don't really believe that it's negligible, though, and that's what, again, Elon says. So when you think about supercharging, the reason I think it could have a small impact is there's a lot of heat. You know, a lot of amps, a lot of voltage, it does produce heat. And so heating the battery more consistently potentially could have an impact. But, you know, as you use these batteries, they heat up. And in fact, that's one of the things when it's cold, if you're in a cold weather climate area, the battery has to heat itself up and condition itself. Then you have to precondition for charging. It heats itself up. So I just think it's very minimal, if at all. And I want to point out one more thing here, Rod. We always state the charge cycles, right? So people who are looking into EVs or who have one and are worried about how long the battery life will be, you know, Elon has stated, this is Tesla engineers have stated that, you know, these batteries are designed to last a minimum of 1500 charge cycles. A charge cycle is 0% to 100%. So you don't have to charge it 0 to 100% every time. If you charge it from 30% to 80%, that would be 0.5, 50% of one charge cycle. If you charge it from 50% to 70%, that's 0.2 of one charge cycle. So over time, when you add all that up, if you look at 1500 charge cycles, and let's just say that your car averages 275 miles on a full charge. If I do 275 miles times 1500, it's 412,500 miles. So these batteries, they're designed to not fail for 1500 charge cycles. But failure is different than degradation, right? So when you look at these Model S's that are 10, 12, 13 years old, you look and they have degradation. I've seen some that are in the 70%. And I think, man, that's great, right? And you got cars with 200,000-300,000 miles on them, and the degradation on the battery is still at over 70%. And the difference between failure and degradation is about capacity. So degradation is how much capacity will the battery store? And as a battery ages and gets used all the time, it lowers, it degrades its capacity to store energy. Therefore, it lowers the range. So that's way different than battery failure, of course. So I can imagine, you know, in 5-10 years from now, we'll be looking at some of these Model S's that have got hundreds of thousands of miles on them, and the batteries are 20 plus years old, and they have degraded to, you know, 50% or 60%. And now, you know, the battery hasn't failed, but, you know, you're only getting 120 miles out of a charge or 100 miles out of a charge. So that's the difference between battery failure with the number of charge cycles that they're designed to last, and degradation, which just on a side note there too, the first 3 months to maybe 6 months of the battery, they can lose 5-6% of the battery capacity. So the newness of the battery, that very first 3 to 6 months, man, it takes a lot of capacity. And then every year after that, the known number for degradation is 1% to 2%. So if you have a 5-year-old car and you lost, or 5.5 years old, and you lost 5% in the first, you know, 6 months, and then you lost another 5% because of 1% per year to 2%. So that would be 5 to 10 plus the 5 that you initially lost. You'd have anywhere from a 15 to 20% degradation. And we typically see a 5-year-old car is still well, you know, well in the 80s. So again, and not an issue here.
A great post here from our master moderator, Sam Dominic, he put a link to batterytechonline.com. And this is an independent report that studied the experts at Recurrent. When Tori, we're familiar with Recurrent, both of you have signed up, we've signed up. They studied fast charging on more than 12,500 Tesla vehicles in the United States, compared cars that fast charge at least 90% of the time with those that fast charge less than 10% of the time. The results showed no statistically significant difference in range degradation between the two groups of Teslas. So thanks,
they have the data.
Sam, what's that?
I said, that's actual data. There's no feeling or what the...
Right.
And what was it designed to? That's the real data.
Yeah, I wanted to give a shout out to Sam because that is not a report from Tesla. That is from Battery Tech Online, and the company who performed it is Recurrent, who, again, is not affiliated with Tesla. They go on in the report to basically substantiate and say that they're confirming Tesla's claims that supercharging doesn't. You know, sometimes it's hard to take the manufacturer's word for things, but this is a good independent study. So go check out that study, Francisco, over the link is in here at Battery Tech Online to read the details on that. So with that, thanks again, Sam. We're going to move on to our next post. I picked up my first Tesla 2 weeks ago today, and I plan on getting the windows tinted. I'm in Texas, and I see several Teslas with very dark front passenger and driver windows. What percentage do you recommend on the front, the back, and the windshield? Should I tint the sunroof or get a sunshade? I'm down here in South Florida. This one hits a little close to me, Tori.
Yeah, I'm assuming by sunroof, he means the glass top.
Yeah.
And people do tint the windshields in these. However, every state's laws on the legality of what tint they allow is different. So here in Georgia, the legal limit is 32%, and that's how much light comes through. So for those who are thinking, back when we were getting our windows tinted, in the 80s and 90s, we were
back in the Stone Age.
It was the lower the number, the darker the tint. It was, it seemed a bit, backward.
10% we called limo tint back in the day.
Yes. Yeah. And, I still feel like it is that way, but, 20% is not legal in Georgia. It has to be at least 32%, for light transmission, and the front windshield cannot be tinted at all. And so what a lot of people do here in Georgia and Teslas, especially because that is huge, you've got glass roof all the way to the top of the car, is they'll put a UV. You can get UV film, and it's not tinted, but you can get extra UV protection, which will reduce heat in the car. And some people do it, to where it's 70%. And that's one of the comments here that I did want to read is from Keir. He says, I did 70% on the windshield, 20% on all others. He didn't do sunroof, which again, there's no sunroof, but the glass top. So he did 20% on the sides and 70% on the windshield. So 70% light through the windshield and only 20% comes through the windows. Like, this is what I like and what I would do, but it's illegal in Georgia to do that. So nobody can really recommend what you should do because, if they recommend below what your state laws are, they don't even know what your state laws are necessarily. So be sure that you're checking with your state laws. Tint companies will put darker tint than what is legal, but you have to sign a form that releases them and indemnifies them so that you're saying, hey, I know that this is illegal and I take full responsibility for that. And he also mentions a sunshade, and I can tell you in my Model X, and I've seen this, and we've had a lot of Teslas that we've bought and sold. And in every Tesla that's had the sunshade, I can tell a difference here in Georgia anyway. So in the middle of the summer, I got a sunshade that pops up into the top part, down to basically the rearview mirror, all the way to where the glass ends, where the pillar comes over. And it made a dramatic difference. It's cloth and it's got perforated holes in it, so it still lets a little bit of light through. But when I put that in there, the difference in temperature inside of the vehicle is very noticeable. So I do recommend those for sure, as well as tint. You definitely want to get the windows tinted with whatever you're comfortable with. And the darker that you tint it, the cooler it's going to be on the inside.
And also, just for those that have never had tinted windows, the darker you tint it, the more difficult it is visibility at night. And so, for the younger folks out there, that may not bother them, or for folks that don't drive much at night, that may not bother them. But for some people, being really dark at night when it's already kind of difficult to see, you may not like as dark of a tint at night because it definitely can make it more challenging to see at night. So those are all things. It's going to be different based on personal preference and driving preferences as well. So cool, let's move on to our next post. Why is the dash cam video quality So Poor, Tori. This is on a 2024 Model Y long range from Ty Piercy.
So Alec comments on this, and I'm going to read it because there's a misunderstanding here. He says, that's normal, actually. I think 80% of Teslas are like this. The Tesla internet connection sucks. And he's partially right, which is why I wanted to read this, is whenever you're using your phone, the Tesla app, to check the video and to download the video from the car, they compress it. And so you're not seeing a high resolution video. So if you're connected to the car through the Tesla app, it is using the internet. And it's not that Tesla's internet connection sucks. It's that it compresses it because it's not going to download a huge video file to your phone when you're, you know, the intent of you being able to look at your dash cam and Sentry videos on your phone is so you can see the basics. But if you want to download that video, what you've got to do is get it from the USB. And that's what you see a few people saying here. In fact, commenting to Alex post, Victor says, I was about to say that this looks like it's downloaded on the app. The quality is slightly better from the USB. And that's actually what Ty Percy says. Would it be higher quality directly from the USB drive? And the answer is yes, it will be. So use the app to connect, and you can download the video to your phone, but it is not going to be a high quality vehicle. So if you want to have a higher quality, I said vehicle, I meant to say video. It's not going to be a high quality video. If you want the higher quality video, pop out the USB drive from the car, plug it into your computer, download the videos, and then put the USB drive back into the car. Don't forget that point or that part, because you know, you'll not be storing the videos anywhere if you don't put that USB drive. And if you get into an accident and you wish that you had the video evidence that it wasn't your fault, if you don't have that USB drive in there, you're out of luck. And for those who don't have a USB drive in their car and aren't recording their Sentry videos and their dash cam videos, it's pretty easy to put one of these in. I'll actually include a link to the video in the description here that will show a video I've recorded of how do you format and install a USB drive. It takes 2 minutes, if that. It's 1 minute. It's so fast and easy, but you do want to be sure that you get a good USB drive. Last note here, Rod, pre-2021 models do not have the ability to review and see dash cam footage from the Tesla app on your phone. That's a 2021 and newer feature that is not available for the older Teslas. You have to get the USB drive out to look at any video on a 2020 or older Tesla.
Yep. So good question, Ty, and great answers from everyone in the group explaining exactly how that's supposed to work. So pretty clear, so clear that Ty even turned the comments off because he got the answers he needed. So moving on, I have a 2020 Model Y with 68,300 miles. My number one reason for purchasing it was for the FSD and safety, as I have some vision impairment. Based on the mileage of my vehicle and its age, I am debating whether it would be a good idea to take advantage of the tax incentive that runs out next week. Is there anything in the 2025 Model Y that would give it a significant advantage over the model I have, or should I wait several more years to max out the mileage in my car and hope that even better technology is available at that time? This is a really great question here.
It is, yep. Jason Stein says, the new Y is night and day difference. Go drive one. And that's true. It's had a refresh not only on the outside, but also on the inside, and it's dramatically different. And in addition to that, James Namsapak says, HW4 is going to be the main thing. There are some other updates in the refresh, but I think probably you have to evaluate your situation. And obviously, if you own the car outright, I think it will make it an easier and simpler transaction to calculate. So HW4 is a big deal here because the 2020 Model Y has HW3. And so what does that mean? What is HW3? What's HW4? So it's hardware is what HW stands for. So makes sense. HW3 is hardware 3. HW4 is hardware 4. Hardware means the actual computer system, the processor, the autopilot computer system, and the cameras. So HW4 is going to have faster computers that can compute more of the graphics and therefore drives on full self-drive better than HW3. So like HW3 users complain of phantom braking with shadows. If it's sunny outside and you're on a road that's got, you know, sunshine peeking through shadows of tree branches, the, you know, HW3 will brake for some of that because it thinks it sees something. They've largely, it's not 100% perfect, but HW4 has largely solved that because there's better cameras and additional processing capabilities with a more powerful computer and processor. So you are going to see a big difference here. And I do want to point out one other thing, and this is a comment by the name of a guy named Tori Hornsby. And
I see it. I knew where you were headed.
Yeah. And what I said was you'll get a pretty large gain in range compared to your current Model Y, and not just because of battery degradation. So we talked about battery degradation already, but, and that would be a real thing on a 5-year-old vehicle. It has, you know, degraded at least 10%. And so when you look at the stated range versus the actual range, here's what I've noticed. We again have bought and sold a lot of Teslas. I've took my Tesla in for a little bit of warranty work on the CV axles and the front motor mount. They've had my car for quite some time, and I've had a Model S as a loaner, and it was a newer Model S with like 11,000 miles, and man, the range on that was incredible. And I was getting 300 miles or pretty close to it of actual range. And then I needed more space, and since they were going to have my car for longer, I wanted to get a Model X. And so they gave me a Model X Plaid as a loaner, which is about the same as my Model X Performance, just the newer model. But what I noticed was the stated range at 100% charge, because I had to go to my daughter's house, charged both to 100%. My car, I think, was 279 miles at 100% charge of stated range. This Model X, I think, was 292, if I remember, or 293. So it was 13 or 14 miles more. And I was like, oh, wow, like made me feel pretty good about my battery degradation, which I think is right at about 9%. And the big thing that I've noticed, though, in taking that trip was the actual range that I got compared to the stated range wasn't just 13 miles difference between my 2020 Model X Performance and the newer one. It was more like 40 miles or 45. So the newer that the Tesla is, I think the better that you're, the more range you're getting of the stated range, because I think we've covered enough to know that your stated range isn't your actual range, right? It's storing capacity. Your battery is used for a lot of other things in the car. Therefore, that's why you don't get the full stated range, but the newer Teslas get a much higher percentage of the stated range than the older Teslas.
Yeah, exactly. So speaking of the tax credit, Tori, I want to make a transition, and we're going to wrap up here. But this was newsworthy and worth discussing. So just a quick personal story. On September 30th, my dad decided, he's been riding with me, and we go to dinner all the time, and I always insist on driving, and he's just been amazed at the FSD when I'm sitting there and the car is driving itself. And so he had an Infiniti to turn in on lease. He said, would you follow me to the Infiniti dealership? And so I go there for him to turn in his Infiniti. I go in, and this is September 30. There's not another customer in there. There's two salespeople. It's a ghost town. And we get in the Tesla, and it's driving us home, very trafficy area and on Clark Road in Sarasota, Florida, like just bonkers traffic, and the car's just driving. I'm just sitting there, and it's in and out, changing lanes, U-turns at traffic light, and he is blown away. So he says, can we go by the Tesla dealership on the way home? I said, sure. We go by the Tesla dealership, and it was packed. They were doing deals at every desk. They had salespeople doing deals over in the service area. My dad decided he wanted a Model Y. They said, we have one Model Y in the state of Florida. In Orlando. One Model Y in the state of Florida that wasn't sold. You have to go get it. I said, you can't have it delivered here. They said, no, you would have to go get it and take delivery today. And then he said, oh, sorry, it's gone. So my dad ended up ordering a Model Y. And then it was just so fascinating to me. And we're recording this now on October the 3rd. And fast forward, Tori, and I just wanted your thoughts on this. Tesla third quarter, record-breaking 497,000 vehicles in Q3. Take us through your analysis of this story, because this just, that's a lot of Teslas in one quarter.
It is. You hit the nail on the head. So this, by the way, circling back to Scott's post, the last one we just looked at, he mentioned, should he get a new one? He put an update in his post and it says, my new vehicle is coming in on Monday. They offered me $15,000 trade-in plus the ability to transfer my full self-drive. My car's in great condition. Does this sound right? Well, $15,000 trade sounds a little low, but you got an $8,000 swap over. And so really you got more like $23,000 because you would have had to buy FSD outright. So I think he did okay. But Scott's proven the point here of why this was a record-breaking quarter is, man, he wanted to do it before the tax incentive ran out. And I look at this, this is incredible. They produced 447,450 Teslas in quarter three. They delivered 497,099 Teslas in Q3. Absolute record breaking. This is amazing. Now, the tax credit is responsible for the majority of that. And this was a bit expected. If you followed their stock pricing, it's off the charts. It has went crazy high. And, you know, Rob, we were talking last week and, you know, I said, hey, if you haven't already, you might want to think about, you know, preparing to sell your Tesla stock just because as this tax credit goes away, this could create a lot of interest and maybe sales continue at a consistent, pretty good level. But I have a sneaking suspicion, and this is what most people believe, is that it will take a minute for this to normalize. And so what's going to happen is all of that demand that was created by the ending of the $7,500 tax credit, I think that we're going to see a Q4 that's going to be abysmal. I think it's going to be a horrible Q4 in terms of deliveries. But then I think that we're going to see everything normalize and get back to the place that we should have been, which is the government doesn't need to be involved in the auto market like this. They don't need to be mandating ICE vehicles, gas vehicles, diesel vehicles. They don't need to be mandating that. Just let this industry grow healthily. The cars are amazing. People love them for way more reasons than the tax credit. You know, the growth in the EV industry before the tax credit was 35% or more per year. It was growing healthy. Well, the tax credit has caused this crazy, unpredictable market for the EV industry. So it would be nice, I think, after we can get through this Q4, which is going to be probably pretty rocky. Q1 are probably going to be bad too. But I think by Q2 of next year, we're going to see things normalizing. And that goes the same with the used Tesla market values. It's been crazy that we've not had, because of the $25,000 limit on the used tax credit, the $4,000 used tax credit, the market for vehicles between $25,000 and $30,000 has just taken this huge hit. It's like everything needs to be close to $25,000 so you can get this $4,000 tax credit. And therefore, a $33,000 car isn't selling because I'm going to wait for the guy that would take $29,000, but because the tax credit will take $25,000 and I get it for $21,000. And it has just been catastrophic to the market values of these cars. And I'm excited to get back to normalcy. Just let the market do what the market does. I think this is going to be a good thing overall. I'm sure you agree with that, right?
Yeah, I do. You know, and just to, for those that may not have any perspective, I think Tesla delivered like 1.2 million cars in all of 2024 worldwide. So they just did in one quarter half of what, you know, they would do in an entire year. And, you know, you bring up a really good point. Jim Farley, the CEO of Ford, agrees with you. He just went on record and said that he predicts EV sales are just going to absolutely fall off a cliff the next few months. One thing that I find interesting, Tori, and you and I, there's a great story that we love to tell about a starving crowd. And you know, if we were having a contest to see who could sell the most hamburgers, and Tori could have the greatest beef and the magic chef, but if I had the starving crowd, I could still sell more hamburgers than him if he was in a bad location and he had no customers. Even though his beef and his chef and his burgers were better than mine, I'm going to sell more burgers than him because I have a starving crowd. That $7,500 tax credit definitely brought in a lot of buyers, but it still tells me there was a starving crowd there, because if there wasn't a demand, then no incentive would have pulled in, you know, a half a million sales in one quarter. And so just, I am such a believer in the influence of friends and family. I'm watching my dad buy a model. He ordered a Model Y all because of seeing me drive one. And I know you, Tori, you every week you tell me about somebody from church that you took for a ride and now they want a Tesla. And so there's another half million Teslas out there in the streets that are influencing friends and family with FSD. And so, you know, I know they're going to slow down. There's no way they can maintain. Obviously the tax credit was, it makes me very bullish on the future for Tesla. Like you said, when we get into Q1, Q2 of next year, and we get these tax credits behind us and things normalize, the volatility goes away, values start to stabilize, I just really think it's a good sign for Tesla long term. And I agree with you, there's going to be a drop off, but there's still, that's some really positive signals for the future, I think.
Yeah. So this year, quarter one, 336,681 vehicles were delivered. Quarter two this year, 384,122. And then this quarter, record-breaking, obviously, right at 497,099. So that's over 1.2 million already right there.
I think it may be worldwide. We'll have to double-check that. It looks like they're tracking to blow last year away, though. If I'm understanding your numbers correctly. And to me, if you look at the fact that Tesla is not the only game in town and all of the legacy manufacturers out there have EVs now, they're all going after the EV market. And for Tesla to still be growing year over year, man, I got to give credit to FSD. I just think it's such a game changer. And, I think it says a lot about the Tesla brand. So with that, any parting thoughts before we wrap up here, Tori?
Like the video and subscribe to our YouTube channel.
All right. Sounds good. For Tori Hornsby, this is Rod Stuckey, and we'll see you on the next episode.